Welcome everybody to Reaper Composition Lecture 6. Today is the continuation of tempo, stretch markers, and everything in between. So we are taking a map or journey down the tempo map of item stretching goodness or something. Before we go into our main content, though, we want to answer some questions. So Christian had a question regarding quantizing.
Yeah, actually, when I quantize, why sometimes, for example, although I choose appropriate measure, it doesn't really fit sometimes completely. For example, I check those options. I quantize this way. I select item, go to item properties, not properties, but processing, and then quantize item. Then I choose measure, to which I have to quantize, and sometimes it doesn't really fit. It is like either halfway done or sometimes even off.
I've noticed that also.
Apparently Christian found another way of quantizing because, well, okay, the answer to your question would be, make sure, since you're using the quantizer that is under item processing menu, which I have to verify that it's there because I'm not sure if it's there, but I will verify it. Make sure to set the grid from either the control shift and number or the alt L on the truck view because it's not the same grid as it is in MIDI editor. So to quantize, I would use the MIDI editor options. The MIDI editor, either the queue that lets you choose the settings which you want to quantize at, or the control shift queue after setting the grid within the MIDI editor. So try that after selecting the nodes that you want to quantize. Now, let me verify this thing.
So I just went into item processing, and it's there. It says quantize items to grid. My guess is that would apply to both MIDI and audio items, since that is in the item menu itself. But as Gianluca said, make sure that you have set the grid in your project as opposed to the MIDI editor, because you can do that. You can set them in both places. You can also link the two, as Gianluca stated in the first MIDI lecture.
So this one basically is for quantizing items. And this, I'm not even sure that applies to MIDI nodes, Christian. So if you want to do it from the track view, I would set the grid and then hit Control Shift Q, that is SWS action, because this appears from a quick look that quantizes the item itself, not the notes within the item. So make sure that you select the item and then you do Control Shift Q with SWS.
Yeah, that's what I was seeing too, is that it looks like it quantizes the item. So like if you have a bunch of drum samples,
that's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that you want to use. But still, the SWS action does that as well. So I wouldn't go into a menu to do an action that I could do with one key that is quicker. So I would select items that I want to be quantized and then hit Control Shift Q after setting the grid to the desired length or division.
But remember that you're not in that way, the one that Gianluca's mentioning with the SWS action, you quantize the notes in the MIDI item. Because what's happening probably is you're quantizing the items, but not the MIDI notes from within the item. So you can quantize the item all day long, but if your notes aren't played directly to scale, it's not going to quantize those notes.
Yep.
Because it's possible to quantize the position of the item and not affect anything in the item itself.
Yeah. But by the way, I will experiment with this option that you were talking of to see if that's any way similar to the one the SWS provides. I always used the SWS action because it seemed to be reliable enough not to investigate on another way of doing the same thing with SWS. Yeah. I hope that answered your question, Christian.
If you go into the Osara shortcut keys as well, and you press the Control Shift Q, it will say SWS blah blah, and it will say quantize item positions and MIDI notes positions to grid. So you'll want that anyway, just because it will quantize both for you, depending on the item that you're in.
Now remember that if you want to only quantize a certain part of an item, is recommended to do it from within the actual piano roll in the MIDI editor and selecting only the part that you want to quantize. It's not recommended that you split the item because sometimes Reaper has the habit of putting random values or not offs or not on that are completely unforeseeable, so unpredictable. You don't know exactly what it does when you split an item in the track view. So if you want to quantize a part of an item, do it from within the media editor. That's my suggestion.
Because if there's notes held over via the sustain pedal especially, and you split that over, it's going to do another note on. It's going to basically trigger the note again.
Yep. And Nick brought up an interesting point that actually I want to tell you something about MIDI that I haven't before, but I believe it's important for you to know. So let's say you have a chord or a note that is long, like semi-breve, okay? So you have this note, and then you have, in the same measure, other notes. Okay, so you get what I'm getting at? What happens, by default, when you play, then you pause in the middle of a measure, and then you hit play again? What happens by default? Can anybody tell me that? So the picture here is, you have a semi-breve, and then you have notes within the measure. So the semi-breve is basically a for the whole measure length
whole note.
Yes, I don't know how you call that in English. Whole note? Yeah, whole note probably, yeah. So you have a whole note, and then in the same measure you have other notes. What happens when you play, then the middle of it you pause, and then you hit play again?
Apparently by me, note sticks. Either it sticks or if it's piano, I noticed that it plays the whole note like it would be on sustain pedal. At least such it behaves by me.
Mm-hmm. So basically you hear the whole note even though you passed its beginning point. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yep.
There's a setting in Reaper that you can turn that thing off. So when you play and you pass the beginning of the note, when you hit play, that note is not played again, which can be good if you're dealing with loops or drums, things that you don't want to hear because you know that there are, but they don't. You know, if you're playing with a loop and then you do that, the loop would just basically go out of tempo. In the way that I'm telling you, you won't hear the loop at all because the note has started before your playback position. Are you following this? Including Derek and Jessica, because I think you don't know the setting. So are you following what I'm saying here? Do you get?
Yes, it's not going to try to fill in and assume, try to get everything going that wasn't before, right?
Yeah. Now, to set that, you need to go into your MIDI editor, piano roll, and do you guys remember how to do that? Open the MIDI in the MIDI editor and go into piano roll.
Control-Shift-E and piano roll.
Almost. Control-Alt-E.
Control-Alt-E.
Oh, yeah, Control-Shift-T works as well, but opens a copy of it.
Control-Alt-E and then...
Yes.
I forgot.
Alt-1 for piano roll. So then you hit Applications key, or Alt-key if you don't have an application key, and you find the option menu. And the third option is Chase MIDI Note Ons in Project Playback. If you uncheck that, basically when you play, you don't hear the note as it's playing, as if it has already started. Okay? That's the little trick.
Where's that option again? I'm trying to follow.
You go to the option menu from within the MIDI editor, and the third option from the list is Chase MIDI Note Ons in Project Playback.
The other small trick I wanted to talk about, it's very, very small, but Gianluca reminded me, and I think we talked about it very briefly, but in case people forget. So sometimes if you're playing an instrument or you're hearing something that you played, and then you press pause and the note gets stuck, you can send what's called an all notes off to all outputs with F3. And most of the time it will unstick your notes.
Yep.
It never does for me. I've tried that a billion times. It never does.
It does for me a lot of times.
I didn't know that. I used to try and push the pedal and God knows what.
Like Jess, I don't get it working most of the time either. So results clearly vary.
Try this, Derek. Instead of stopping, pause, and then hit F3. Let's see if that changes.
I always pause when I do it, and then it does it most of the time.
It's basically when you stop it, the project is somehow stopped, and the cursor is another point. So probably that's why it's not working. But if you pause it, it's that point where the note is getting stuck, so the message is sent.
That will work, yes.
That's what I think is not why it's not working for you.
Okay.
So you can try.
We got one more musical assignment, which I like, too. I liked everybody's, actually, to be fair. And said assignment, for your listening and analyzing pleasure, does the following.
Very nice. Especially the rain on that, the assignment we just heard is just blended in very well. With that piano and those pads, very well.
And I like the little subtle chimey thing at the end. That was especially decorative and nice.
Would that piece have a uniform tempo, do you know? Or?
No.
Free time. I don't
it was
know
very free form.
Yeah, free time.
It did not, yeah.
A lot of songs... like the one we just heard, that seemed very meditative, very therapeutic. And a lot of songs like that, you would want a very free time. You don't, you know, songs don't always have to have a strict time, like 4-4 or 3-4 or 6-8 or whatever. So just bear that in mind.
All right, well, who's actually ready to get into some stretchy tempo stuff?
Yeah.
This will get interesting. So... last week, when we left you guys, I left you guys on slaving a song to a metronome that had been relatively uniform. The song was already quantized or already, you know, whatever. It had a pretty uniform tempo. It was pretty rigid. Now, before I move on, though, I wanted to show one other thing regarding that. Now, this particular song... isn't rigid, but I just want to get to a point where I left off on that I was talking about on Thursday last week. So Gianluca and I, if you guys remember, were talking about how sometimes, I don't know if you guys remember when I was fixing the Ellie Goulding track, I was moving the contents of the item, not the item, but I was moving the contents of the item to sort of line up right with the metronome because I was just a tiny bit off. Do you guys remember that? So... sometimes when you're working with something, you need some space because a song doesn't always start at the beginning of a measure. So you get, you know, dun, dun, 3-4, you know, where the song might start and then your first measure. So we're going to work with this random thing. So it didn't start at the beginning of a measure, right?
Yep.
So... well, there's
I'm glad nobody snarked and said, well, it's in 2-4 time. Of course it did.
Someone could. That's what, I guess
is that really in 2-4 time? It sounded like 4.
No, of course not. I was just complimenting on you guys actually, you know, not being snarky.
Oh, I thought you were serious.
No.
I thought so too, actually, for a second. I was like, wait, what? No, it's not. I mean, I guess it could.
It sounded like on the second. It started on the second measure.
1-2, 1-2, 1-2.
Oh, Lord.
But no, it happens to be 4-4 and start on beat 3.
It happens to be 4-4, but it started on beat 3. So the problem with this file, there's a couple of problems with this file. So the first problem is that if we do Control Shift J twice, you'll see that we are.
Bar 0, min 12.00%. Bar 17.10%.
Sorry, I meant Control Shift J once. So we're at like bar 12. So there's a whole bunch of silence at the beginning of this file. So we're going to go ahead and get rid of this nasty silence because that'll mess up the whole, at least for me anyways, it messes up the whole tempo mapping and all that. So let's do that. We're going to go to the item.
So guys, guide Jessica, how can she get rid of the silence? Walk her through that. Let's assume she doesn't remember how to do that. How can she get rid of the silence?
Yeah, guys, help me because I don't remember.
Go to just before the... before the drums start, hit your right bracket, hit the W key to go to the beginning of the project, hit left bracket and hit delete.
Yeah, that's one way.
That's
yeah.
one way.
Another way you could do it is do a, what is that? Shift S or S? I would do Shift S to create a new item.
What's the difference? Does anybody know what's the difference between S and Shift S? That's a very interesting point.
S definitely splits the item, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. And Shift S does what? Do you remember that?
Splits it in time selection.
Mm-hmm. Good job.
Yeah.
So
okay, why?
There are some ways to do that.
Yeah, there is a lot of ways to do that. Another way that's probably the easiest would be go select the beginning of the item, hit tab, that goes to the beginning of the transient, shift home, delete. That's the quickest and easiest at this moment because she has only one track on this project. If it had, if she had like three or four, that would not be good because then she would delete on any.
I admittedly do it a little bit, mostly the same, but I admittedly do it a little bit different because I ripple it and make sure it moves to the beginning and all that. So,
well, when you delete time selection, it would always ripple because time selection basically is when you delete the time selection, you move the later content, right, in place of the time selection. So, yeah. But yeah, again, Reaper has a lot of ways to do one thing and to do it, and they're all right.
Somebody said, why not A?
That's exactly what I was going to do.
I would have put
it's the Canadian.
Gone to the beginning of the I would have gone to the beginning of the drums and I would have pressed A and then I would have deleted that the first item.
But then you have to make sure that
make
ripple
sure
is
that you have
track.
Ripple on.
Yeah.
Yep.
My ripple
and that's what I was going to do
is,
here.
Is usually on, but
so let's in this case we have
ripple off.
So it's off right now. So ripple. Let's change that.
Ripple retract.
There we go. So if we now hit tab. See, now it's right at the beginning there of those drums with the space bar. So now we're going to hit A, as Tammy said, which is what I tend to do. And then I'll go back. And delete that. Now. So now that has all that silence gone. But as we said earlier, this is not at the beginning of the measure. So I'm leaving this open for discussion. How do you guys think I could move this item so that it lines up?
You could nudge it.
I could.
That would be a question I would expect from you guys at this point.
Is that where you use it, move the contents? No.
No, the item does not have any silence at the beginning, so you don't need to move the content.
Should what you is, rewind what, back to the beginning of the project?
It's already there.
That's what all that did. That's what that achieved.
The item is at the beginning of the project, but she said that it doesn't start at the first beat. It's at the third. It should be at the third beat, but now it's on the first beat. But what is the important question?
Channel message from Claudio. Claudio, let's Claudio bring
Claudio. Claudio, go ahead.
The important thing is, what's the time here? I mean, what's the...
You mean what's, awesome. The, you mean what's the tempo, right?
Yeah.
The tempo, yeah. Awesome, awesome question, and that's the important question.
Yeah, because if you know the tempo, then you can adjust it your file and put it in just in time in the third beat or the first bar.
So what we're gonna do here now, because he's absolutely right. Like this thing is set at 120, and we're pretty sure that the song is not at 120. So, how do we change the tempo of this if we don't know what the tempo is? How do we change the tempo of this without affecting the audio.
We set time base to time. When pressing Alt.
Bingo.
Project settings dialog HZ if unset. Okay, set. Combo box to lapse. Edit. Project DPS time sig. Slash edit. Time base for time base. Time base for item slash envelope slash markers. Combo box speeds. Position time. Unsaved project Reaper V5.40 slash X64 registered to Jessica Silva.
Yeah. So,
who remembers what would have happened had that step been forgotten and she started messing around with the tempo to try to sync it up?
The audio would have also been affected.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So now what I'm going to do, well, okay, I'm going to play this for a little bit and get into the beat of the song before, you know, doing anything. But once I kind of hear the steady of the drum, or as steady as it can be in this point, this there's a reason I'm using this track. We'll get to it in a minute. What do I have to do to actually get the tempo set here? If I don't know what the BPM of this project is, if I have a track and I don't know what the approximate BPM of this is.
Use tap to tempo.
Yep. So I gotta fix that because it's...
You could tap, you know, off. J, couldn't you?
How did I change the tempo on the fly like that? What key did I use?
Is it H? I think it's H.
Yes. It is H. You're correct.
Another way you could do it if you knew that the tempo was steady on would be to select an exact measure of the audio, not of your project, but of the audio. Go into repeat mode with Control R and hang out within the bounds of the selection. And when you play, you'll hear that selected measure over and over and over and over and over again. Then, if you press Control, Alt, Shift, and C, we tried to make that as easy as possible, except, well, oops. Control, Alt, Shift, C, you have an action that is invoked which says, set project tempo from time selection, new time signature. And what that will do is bring up a dialogue in which you can specify the number of measures you selected and the time signature that you know the audio to be. And from there, it does the math to figure out what the BPM should be. There's no intelligence in looking at the audio, so it doesn't look at transients. It doesn't try to determine if you actually did a good job of selecting a perfectly looping piece of audio. It just simply looks at the time selected and says, right, well, based on the fact this is X measures at Y time signature, then come up with the right tempo and put that in the project. So there is that.
As Derek was saying, with Alt Control Shift C, you can make the project BPM from a selection of audio. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, when you do that, because it does time signature, that it creates an initial tempo marker.
No, it does not, because it says the project tempo to that time signature. The one that creates tempo marker is Alt Control C without the shift.
Ah, okay.
And you can keep that straight by remembering the more hotkeys you add to something, the more global the effect. So when you add that shift key, we go from dealing with a part of a project to the whole thing. So that's why it's laid out that way.
And we'll get into tempo markers in a minute. What the heck a tempo marker is real soon. So at any rate, so we have this song now, but it's still kind of off because of the measure. So if I've made an approximate tempo of what this song is, but this doesn't start at the beginning of the measure, what else am I missing? How could I move this? Or what could I do?
Could you use your nudge set dialogue to move it to the beat where you wanted it to start?
Yeah, you could. In fact, that is a way to do it.
Nudge slash set items dialogue, no selected items, by edit 8.0.
Oops. That's what happens when I don't select my items, guys.
1-4 top stage, I need 11.
So, there's the item selected with control left arrow.
Nudge slash set items dialogue, position the first selected item, 1.1.00 o'clock, 0.00, by edit 8.0. Combo box, by edit, selected 8.0.
No, go 8. Away.
Selection remove.
So we can
combo box position collapsed. Left trim, left edit, right trim, contents duplicate.
So you can edit, you know, cursor. Move it, or you can move the edit cursor, etc., etc. This nudge dialogue always confuses me. Okay. So the easier way for me to do this, I can select this item, and I can cut it.
One item removed.
And then I can go to measure two,
R2.
With page down, and then go to beat three. of measure one with what key, guys?
Control page down.
Control page up, yep.
B3.
And then do what?
Paste your item.
Paste.
One item added. B1.
I have a feeling this will still be a little bit off, but theoretically...
Well, you could also directly go to beat 3 from measure 1 with control page down, Jessica, instead of going to measure 2.
Control,
and then
yeah. Yep.
I mean, that's...
We also could have done it by going to the jump dialog and typing in 1.3.00 and hit enter there and paste it.
Or, wait, because there's an or here. In the newest key map you guys are going to get, hopefully soon, you will be able to move that item by grid division. Isn't that cool? Because
that's
I mapped
kind of awesome.
The new action to do that. That will move not only items, but also envelope points by grid size.
Nice.
It will be the newest key map. Again, Jamie has it. I hope he puts it in.
So now we have something like... So it's still a little bit quick. As you can tell. But it's at least...
Well, the metronome's quicker. So
yeah.
Yeah.
But it's at least where we want it to be.
For the first two beats, which is actually perfect. And kind of the point.
Now, great. That is awesome. But this song is all crazy and offbeat already, right from the start. Why?
Because you didn't tempo sync it?
Because they chose to play it like that?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. They chose to not quantize anything. They chose to be humans. This was Motown, and in the 60s, I don't even think they had quantizing.
I was getting ready to ask that. Was quantization and all this stuff even a possibility back then? I mean, probably they didn't even consider that. It's like, you know.
No, man, we don't have step sequences or any of that stuff. Wendy Carlos did.
Yeah.
In all fairness, that existed. Yeah. You could have analog step sequencers, but then a crystal controlled analog clock, one would argue, still isn't exactly the most. Or maybe they're quartz, but point is, oh dear.
Well, that's, and they'll even, you know, they won't even, those guys are not really enthusiastic about all the computer stuff that we've got now. You know, they look down on it.
As a byproduct of it not existing in the 60s, one might not be very enthusiastic about it. I could see that.
Yeah.
Anyway, point being
that they were just playing and they're human. They're not computers. Their brains are human brains. And so drummer or vocalist or whatever kind of rushed or slowed or pulled or pushed the beat a little bit. So Tammy is, you know, part right in that it's not tempo synced. And Jess is part right in that they just played like a band would play. So what if we run into a situation where we want to tempo sync this? Like, what if we run into a situation where we want this on a straight tempo because, you know, you want to use it in something, or someone's trying to play it more straight because they can't be as fancy, or any number of reasons? We would tempo sync it or slave it to a metronome. And there are a few ways to do that. And Derek is going to at least talk about one of them, and I'm going to try to attempt to demonstrate it in a little bit.
So the thing that we really want you guys to think of here is, like, what do we want this thing to do? Do we want the metronome to be slaved at the non-constant song? Or do we want the song to be at a constant tempo? That's what we are going to achieve both. We can achieve both things in Reaper. We can choose, do we want a metronome to be exactly as the song goes, or do we want the song to be to a tempo and be constant and the tempo that we choose it to be? This is basically what these 2 weeks are going, the question that these 2 weeks are going to answer, to kind of sum it up a bit.
Yep.
And the reason you may care about this is because if you want to do mashups, or if you have a drum beat in a song you hear and you want to take a loop of it and you want to add it to your MIDI that you've sequenced, or you want to take a whole bunch of different samples of different songs and you want to put them all together and you want to, you know, make beats with it and stuff, you can
totally do that.
Or even more simply, let's say you have a delay and you want to tempo sync that, and you want so the song needs to be at a certain tempo, so the delay would be in tempo with the actual song and not going into tempo with metronome, but then the song is not.
So by practicing any number of these techniques we're going to show you, you'll gain a lot of knowledge by doing that. There's even one variant that will help you make sure that certain things fit in a very specific time if you need that to happen. So you can take something and slave it to a particular time.
Tempo or also time selection. Let's say voiceover needs a 30-second commercial and it just spoke for 30 seconds and 5/10 of a second and it cannot cut more. Well, you can stretch that bit and fit that to a particular time selection. And that's a pretty cool feature of Reverb.
Lots of cool stuff. So the first thing we want to do is the easier, well, ish, sort of, approach, wherein we want to sync the metronome to the song that exists. So if you want to change something, it's human psychology and it's technically correct. One way to do that is to go to where the person, thing, etc. is. And then once you're there and you've got it, then you kind of nudge it along to where you want it to be. And thus, that is a tempo marker. A tempo marker is a means of changing tempo at any point in your project. You do not have to keep the same project tempo or time signature from the start. So knowing tempo markers is useful even if you're composing and you want a piece which has a bit of a retard. You want maybe a note to hold over or the whole piece to kind of slow down for a bit and come back up to speed. You can do that without having to free flow the rest of the piece. You can keep the metronome relevant, and thus you can keep all your quantization and your grid useful. So be it MIDI or mashing up audio, tempo markers are awesome.
So we have this four tops, and I've decided to tempo mark at least the first few measures of this. Now, I say the first few measures of this because I'm going to do this, and then you guys are going to sigh at me and realize how extremely hard this is. Or is it? And what I mean by that is, we'll get to that in a second, why tempo markers are great. And tempo markers are a great starting point, and they will definitely help you, but you'll see where this gets annoying. So this song, as we said, it sort of free flows a bit. The project starts at 121. If we go into project properties, because remember we tap tempoed this. So if we go into project properties with Alt Enter and we look at the time signature.
Project, okay, cap, save, property, combo, box, collapse, edit, selected 44, project, DPM, edit, selected 121.000, unsaved.
See, and it's at 4.4. Now, as Derek said, we saw here that by measure two, it went off. So we're going to add a tempo marker to kind of show that in the conformance here a little bit. So we'll do that, and we'll play the project, and then we'll kind of stop at the approximate point where it sort of breaks, or at least get to that point. So I literally just press play, and then I press pause with control space at the part where it sort of broke, and then I kind of scrubbed back a little bit. You can also, if you're a little bit sort of behind, you can sometimes find your drum, your or your boom, or your whatever, with next transient, which is tab. So here we are at the beginning here. So we're going to put a tempo marker here, and we do that by pressing Shift C. Now, it's going to say some interesting things when we do this.
Tempo slash time signature marker dialog DPM tempo edit selected 121.
So it has the time signature of the project. Now, who remembers if the metronome was slowing down or speeding up? Or do we have to go back and rehear this?
Speeding up.
Okay. Let's try 120. Actually, let's try 119, because why not? So we'll put here in this edit box the new time signature. What this is basically doing here is putting a new time signature for the metronome. Now, if we tap,
position, edit, selected 2.1.03.04.3.
It kind of shows you where on the beat it's changing here. This is important because you can actually add a tempo marker and change the tempo in the middle of a measure. So That's important to keep in mind here. So you can basically start a new measure in the middle of the measure.
Back in the old days, and you should be happy you've missed these, what would happen if you started a measure not on beat at the top of a measure? What would happen when you then would, because back then we had to split items at tempo markers and then do all these other bad things. Now we use stretch markers at tempo, and we'll get to those in a bit too. But what would happen is the teeny fraction of a piece of audio that would make the difference when you would start a measure somewhat through another measure would be stretched to make an entire measure. So if you put your tempo change sort of in the middle of a beat, that audio between the middle of the beat and the top of the next one would stretch to make an entire measure. Fortunately, they figured out that people preferred it to just make the end of the measure where the beginning of the next one started, as opposed to trying to carry it the other way. So as opposed to growing it out, it shrinks it. So you can be thankful you missed when that bad craziness was happening.
Now we're going to get more to this box here in a second.
Position, edit, focus, selected 2.1.0.3.0.3.
Not here. This next one.
Gradually transition tempo to next marker, checkbox checked.
This one. Because that one's particularly fun in MIDI land, from what I believe from what Gianluca was saying. Because tempo markers are a bit different in MIDI as well. Like you can actually, with these tempo markers, slow down your MIDI notes and stuff and gradually do this. So we're going to uncheck this because I don't want a gradual transition here.
Not checked.
Now.
Start new measure, time signature, checkbox not checked.
Start new measure, time signature. That's actually what I want here.
Checked.
So I'm going to check that. So what that's going to do is it's going to, as Derek said, it's going to start at the edit cursor where I'm at, and it's going to start a new measure at the time signature of, we're at 119, I think, at the moment. Is that the new time signature we put here? At 119 beats PM at 4:4. So we'll see
edit,
here.
Selected 4. Slash edit, selected 4.
See?
Allow a partial measure before this marker, checkbox not checked.
Allow a partial measure before this marker. I have this unchecked. I always uncheck it. I don't actually... I think that's what happens. I think that's the old way, Derek. The way you're
if you
check
that, the old way would come back. Yep. Oh, yeah. And it sure does.
So, let's see what happens.
New metronome pattern. Checkbox not checked.
There's a new metronome pattern if you want that.
Okay button.
I don't.
Press on save. Project Reaper V5.4.
So we hit OK. Oh, starting to drift off again.
It was never right.
Why do you think I never use metronomes?
So Derek says that it wasn't quite right. We can slow it down by a beat more and see if it's better.
Before doing that, Jessica, it would be good if you tell us how to navigate between markers and how to modify an existing marker so that they have all the needed info. Should they follow along with something?
Control apostrophe and control semicolon. So semicolon goes previous and apostrophe goes forward. And the move to next and previous tempo marker. So if you have several tempo markers, you can edit a specific one. So I didn't have to undo that time signature. I could have just edited it.
Little note slash warning here, guys. Keyboard note slash warning. If you are not using the English layout, those keys won't be the one that Jessica said. So instead of semicolon and apostrophe, especially people who are using the Italian or Spanish layout, they need to use E and A grave, referring to Claudio. I don't know if he's still on the server, but he will listen to the podcast if he's not. So you need to change if you're having a different layout. They are not the control apostrophe and semicolon, but they are control E grave and control A grave.
Now, once you find the tempo marker that you want to edit, you can then hit C and it will edit that marker. So Shift C creates the marker. Remember, Derek's talking about bigger things, and C edits the marker. I have a habit sometimes of pressing Alt C instead of Shift C because of Ray Console and all that. So just be careful with that. Shift C, create tempo marker. C, edit tempo marker. So let's try to create this marker where we were here. With what key, guys? I just said it.
Shift C?
Yep.
Tempo slash time signature.
You can also edit the one you've already created with C.
I undid it.
Okay. So then you need to
That's why I said what I said about I didn't have to undo it. I could have just... So let's try 118. Since Derek said that it was 2.
Position edit selected 2.1.0304.
Yeah.
Gradually transition tempo not checked.
Let's uncheck that.
Start new measure time signature checked.
Yes.
Edit selected 4.
No.
Slash partial measure before this marker checked.
Yeah.
What?
No. What? I heard it wrong. Go for it. You're right. Okay. I was afraid you were about to check that allow measure thing. Or
no.
New metronome pattern. Checkbox not checked. Okay button.
And let's see here.
Save project Reaper V5.
So now it's dragging again.
Yeah, now there's a little decision to make. It's not a big one, but if you guys hear, the clap is not even to tempo with the drums. So what do we... What? We want the clap to be the sort of, or the drums? I would say the drums, but the clap is also a thing that it's there.
Could you turn the metronome off, Jess, and play just the audio there?
So yeah, listen for the clap, and the drums. Listen for that.
Yep.
So it's kind of drifting. So I would say the drums is the thing to keep in consideration.
Agreed.
Yeah, which is what I... I'm going based off of, because the snaps are not in sync with the drum. Like, they go all over the place. And so that could get sort of more complicated. But as you can see, I'm dragging here probably every couple of measures. So I would essentially have to tempo mark this every couple of measures. Well, there's a part in here where it actually goes on for a few measures and it goes quite well if you tempo mark this. But then it breaks again. So, but as you can see, like, we're barely at...
Metronome. Edit tempo slash time signature marker dial BPM. Tempo edit selected 118.
Let's edit that. Let's see if we can... Because I don't like how that sounds either.
117. Cancel button. Okay button. Press unsaved project.
See, so two measures.
Pick which ones you want right and where the drift happens, but either way you only get about two. You can pick where the two are, but
so that's the problem with tempo marking.
So let's say you have all of your song tempo marked. That's cool. What if you want to make the song conform to a straight tempo? Well, what you need to do is insert stretch markers where the tempo markers occur as well.
What's a stretch marker?
So a stretch marker is, I'm going to be very graphic. Who knows what a rack is? And I'm talking about a rack, not in a studio, but I'm talking about a torture chamber.
Actually, I don't know.
I don't know.
A rack is this very horrid medieval torture device, wherein what they would do is they would tie a person to each side of the rack, and then they would move the ends of the rack away from each other to increase the distance between the two, and it would stretch, basically pull every... Yeah. And this does the same trick with audio, except it doesn't hurt anything.
Except it's not as painful.
If you do it wrong, it can make some really painful sounding results.
Well, there it is.
So,
yeah, there's that.
What we have in the most basic form, initially, was the ability to insert, navigate, and move stretch markers, which in itself was pretty cool. Because let's say you had a point that you wanted lengthened. What you would do is you would go to each side of the audio to put the piece that you want lengthened or shrunk on the virtual rack, as it were. And then you would go to where you wanted that piece of audio to end up lengthwise. And move one of the stretch markers such that that piece of audio would be stretched or shrunk between the position of those stretch markers. Does that make sense? Can you visualize that?
So think of your stretch markers, guys, in this case, as like your time selection markers, your left and right bracket. Everything in between those markers is going to get affected
when you move one of them.
when you move the marker forward or backward along the timeline.
Yeah, makes sense to me.
So if I record, I'm just going to be silly, and I'm going to bring up a new project in Reaper.
I have a little question. I don't have that file, Jessica, so can you send me that so that, because I have a, there is another way to do tempo marking this thing. There's a bit quicker, not less tedious, but a bit quicker than the one that you were showing. And I would like them to know that as well, the doing with time selection and measures. Because that's tedious as well, because you need to do it measure by measure. But it can get to a bit more, probably precise result instead of trying to guess the numbers. So I want them to actually see that as well. So either you do that, or if you can send me the file, I can try to do that. Or Derek, I don't know. But that's a thing that they probably, because I can probably hear their brain going, what, do I have to guess the number at every time it drifts or something? Well, yes and no. If you're using time selection, Reaper tries to do calculations for you. Are they precise? Sort of. Is that probably a quicker job at trying to guess everything? Yes. So this is another way to do the tempo marking stuff. And just to prove there are a lot of ways in doing this, but let's now since we are on the stretch marker part, let's get Derek doing his stretch marker demo, and then we because then tempo and stretch can be linked together when you're gonna make then. When you have slaved the metronome to your track, then with stretch marker, you're doing the opposite part. But let's do it slowly. So we did a bit of tempo, now we do a bit of stretch, and then we see how we could both link them both together. That's what I think today would be the cool thing to do.
Yep. So I have recorded this little vocal of me saying, "Welcome to an example of stretch markers." Who can guess what I'm going to do with that? I'm going to stretch out the word stretch. Now, what I'm going to do that, welcome to an example of stretch. So I'm going to get past the R.
Oh, so you thought you're actually going to shrink stretch because it's stretch, like you stretched it.
Well, yeah, but
so
that's the beautiful part. I can do that later. You see, that's the brilliant part of the whole deal. Once we get this marked up. So
Derek, I can suggest you to move to a zero crossing so you would avoid weird.
Yes. Yep. Who remembers how to move to a zero crossing in Reaper?
Is it just Zed?
I think Zed, yeah.
So there's the zero crossing. So I'm going to press Shift A. And the reason I want to press Shift A is because when you add a stretch marker, you're adding it to an item or a group of items. But that's much later. And so you want to make sure that you're actually going to add it to something, the right number of things. So I press Shift A. Now, I'm going to press Control M, which is an action in Reaper for add stretch marker at cursor. Nothing is spoken, but that's okay. I'm going to press space and then Control space to pause a little bit later. Right there. I'm going to press Z to move to what?
Zero crossing.
That's right. And see, it moved me to because that was the closest zero crossing. And I'm going to do what? To insert another stretch marker.
Shift A and Control M.
Yes. Now we have two stretch markers. Nothing's changed because we haven't moved yet. We haven't moved anything. We've just got the air on the virtual rack. And we haven't pulled the ends of it apart yet. Now, to navigate between stretch markers, we use shift semicolon, so it's colon, and shift apostrophe. And that navigates between the previous and next stretch marker.
Little warning, the same thing that I said before with the layout, it's same here. So semicolon and apostrophe gets replaced with E and A graph in non-English layouts.
So I want to select the second stretch marker. As I navigate between them, it announces the time based on the ruler.
You don't have your speech routed. I don't know if you...
I know that.
Okay.
I can route it, though, if you like.
Yeah, probably it's better for them to hear what it says when you move between markers. So they have... Because I believe they're not following along, so it's better if they hear it.
So as I press shift semicolon...
Stretch marker beat 161%. Bar 1, 2%. 0%. 2%.
Don't worry about all that part. The thing you care about is
stretch marker bar to 61%, stretch marker beat to 55%.
That's the second one. Had I changed the ruler to a different view, it would have actually been more relevant. It would have given me a time. For example, let's do that. View, up arrow a couple times. Now, let's see if I'm correct.
Stretch marker 2.307 sec. Stretch marker 2.777 sec.
There we go. Since we're dealing with speech, I find that a lot more interesting. Now, stretch markers. Okay. I'm going to, now having selected that second stretch marker, so you follow what we've done. We've put two stretch markers down, so we have a piece of audio between those stretch markers. Okay? You got that?
Yep.
All right, cool. Now, I'm going to move in this project. I'm going to move forward to just there. That'll work. I want to move that second stretch marker to my current location. And I will do that by pressing Alt-M. And you will hear...
Stretch marker moved.
Stretch marker moved. That just took the right edge of that audio between those two stretch markers and stretched it out such that it currently exists between the stretch markers still, which are farther apart. You see what happens there? Those stretch markers are farther apart, but the content between them is the same. Thus, it has slowed down, as you will hear.
Zero.
Welcome to an example of stretch markers.
Ooh, clicky.
Now, there are ways to fix that. You can play with the stretch marker fade time, or you can delete them and try them at a different location. I guess for some reason, my first zero crossing didn't work. Clearly, my second one did. Coming out of the stretch marker was successful. Welcome to an example of stretch markers.
0.011 sec. Stretch marker 2.307 sec. Stretch marker 3.077 sec.
See, that second stretch marker is at 3 seconds. If we go way over and we move it again.
Stretch marker moved.
We go to the top of this. Welcome to an example of stretch markers. See how that's working? So,
Eric, I have a question regarding that. Mm-hmm. Does the stretch marker movement take into effect, which we'll talk more about here in next week, does that take into effect the algorithm of the project?
Yes, it does.
Like pitch does.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. So, if I want to shrink stretch markers, I can do that too.
The stretch marker 2.3, stretch marker 3.557 sec.
So we know that the first stretch marker is at
stretch marker 2.307 sec.
2.307.
Stretch marker 3.557.
So let's just make this at an even 3 seconds.
Wow. 0 min 3.387 sec.
Wow.
0 min 3.277.
I'm just scrolling back here.
0 min 3.14.
Wow.
0 min 3.05.
Wow.
0 min 2.977.
Right on. Alt M.
Stretch marker moved.
Now we have welcome to an example of stretch marker. See, it's a little shorter.
5.366, 5. Stretch marker 2.977 sec. Stretch marker 2.307 sec.
Let's make it like 2.4 seconds.
Stretch marker 2.97 sec.
Scrub back, see what this is.
0 min 2.637 sec. 0 min 2.447 sec. Stretch marker. 0.
Welcome to an example of stretch markers. See, now it's shrunk. And had I been more careful, or had I redid the position of that first stretch marker, then it wouldn't have clicked. Okay, so that's cute. That's wonderful. That's kind of adorable and strange. And that means you could mark off, 35 seconds of speech, and then you can say, well, that needs to be shrunk by a factor of 5 seconds. So we're going to move the play cursor, scrub it to 30 seconds. And then move the second stretch marker so that now we've shrunk the contents between those two stretch markers to get it into that 30-second window. And that's cool and wonderful and great. But musically, so what? What does that matter? Where can that be useful? Well, when Jessica was here a couple years ago, she tracked a version of Merry Christmas, Darling. Now, we, after take, gave it up as a bad job of trying to get all, I think there were 12 Jessicas in harmony at the end. to cut off at precisely, or rather, exactly the same point. And, you know, as well as I do, choirs where people cut off at different parts are kind of a little sloppy. So, we didn't want sloppy. We wanted something that was more precise, that was... All those Jessicas cut off at the exact same time because each of them had their own set of stretch markers to make it such that the pieces between those stretch markers would yield an end result that ended at the same time. If we solo the vocals... See? They cut at the exact same time. Except if you listen really careful to one of the Jessicas on the right, apparently I was a little bit sloppy with one of the stretch markers because you hear it click. But it's buried way down, way, way down deep in there. In fact, the first time I noticed that was about 10 seconds ago. So, yeah.
Is everyone confused? Is everyone good?
I'm going to have to study up on this. I know that.
But do you see what's happening? Do you see what's going on? Do you see the results that are being achieved as a result of the stretch markers and what they're doing?
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I'm audible now, right?
Yes,
you are.
So for me, what it's like is like you have an elastic band, right? You stick your fingers in either end of the band and you pull your hands apart. The band stays the same, but it stretches. Is that basically the concept?
Mm-hmm.
It's that concept, Shar, but remember, because I was actually literally about to make that same analogy. So imagine the rubber band. Yeah, the rubber band. And who remembers in school, like you had like rubber bands on these boards with tacks, like for geometry and math, and you could move your tack and shrink the rubber band, or you can stretch the rubber band with your...
I was going to say, Jess, there's the points at which you put the first stretch marker. So that'd be like if you took an elastic band and you put tacks in the middle of the elastic band, or at the end in the middle of the elastic band, and then you took two more tacks and put them at the ends of the elastic band and you stretched it. That would be your two middle points would be like where you put your original stretch markers, and then your at the ends of the elastic would be where you wanted your, how far you wanted to stretch it out.
So would the two middle bands there be your time selection, basically? Or
that's sort of what I got, but yeah. I could be totally wrong.
So all of the audio, guys, is inside because the tacks, there's only two tacks and everything in the middle is stretching. So that's why Shar is right with the band. The band itself is stretching. So imagine the band being your audio and your two end tacks are the thing moving the band. You can shrink the band or you can stretch the band. The two tacks are on the ends of your band. Those are your markers that move your band. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yep.
I was thinking about your time selections as well, like you, where you originally start. But yeah, that makes more sense.
All right, so, okay, that's great.
Let's see if I can...
Now, Derek, could you show them that stretch markers also have to deal with rate and pitch? Because
that's where I was going.
Yes, because that it's a very good example for them, I think.
Okay, so there's a checkbox in item properties. Who remembers how to get to item properties? See how all this is tying together? All the audio stuff and all the MIDI and music. That's right. There's a box that says preserve pitch when changing rate. If you uncheck that, your stretch markers act as very speed. They act as if you were slowing down or speeding up a tape because the pitch preservation's taken off. So the rate changes.
So theoretically, it's supposed to produce like a tape stop effect. It'll go... Or...
What I was... Yep. Crap, I did not save my stretch marker project. Had I done that, I would have shown you that it would have went like stretch markers or stretch, or, you know, whatever would have been required.
I wonder how you knew that. You didn't use an LFO or anything like that?
Nope. Mm-mm.
In fact, Do you remember, guys, when we showed you, now this has a little bit more involved, but do you remember when we showed you the sound of Reaper at the beginning of class and Derek's spin down went
yes
that had a stretch marker thingy at the end that had a couple things else as well that we'll talk about next week, but they were controlled by stretch markers slowing down the end of them.
Do you see how all this stuff's tying together, how things and item properties can affect music, can affect the way things can change when you're using other aspects of, you know, Reaper entirely? I mean, do you see how all this interconnects? It's pretty wild stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, of course, you can associate stretch markers and tempo, and you can lock those together such that when something is tempo synced, you can put stretch markers where those tempo markers change, delete the tempo markers out from under the stretch markers, which forces the stretch markers to move, provided you're at beats position length rate, and snap the audio to a regulated tempo. To break all that stuff down, this is the part where Jessica and Gianluca take over, and I sit back and exist.
There's one thing that you can show them before do that, because that's like, okay, it's like kind of an auto-snapping kind of deal. But what if we want to snap something to grid ourselves? Can we do it in stretch marker? Because that, I think, is a thing that is still tied to stretch marker that you can show them. And it's pretty cool. So before tying them tempo and stretch, let's show the other possibility that we have with stretch. Like we did with tempo, where we put a tempo to the beat. Let's put a stretch to the beat.
Okay, we can do it that way.
And then we tie this together with tempo and
do
stretch.
Do you have that same instrumental, Derek? Because
yes, I do.
There's a reason. Well, you'll see with the stretch markers if you do it that way, because it was the thing that I pointed out to you.
Mm-hmm. And this is where I'm going to use the other extreme, and then you will learn by playing with your own material. Oh, you know, combining these two methods is pretty darn cool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the cool part about this is that I get to do tempo syncing stuff. I get to start from the top and get all this going. So I will do what Jessica just demonstrated, though faster, since this is more review than anything. So I'm going to turn the metronome on with what?
Shift-Control-M.
Metronome on.
Look at that. And then...
Mm-hmm. 1 0 min 1 point.
Yeah, we're gonna hit tab.
One.
yeah, that's a good time.
Ripple per track. One.
Told you it was
one,
at like
one,
bar
four.
8.
Oh yeah, I was proving a point. All right. I'm going to make my loop here. Left bracket. There you go. Control, Alt, Shift, C.
Edit time signature dialog / time sit 4. 4 unselect.
All right.
Unsaved.
Now, let's see what we have. When we cut this.
Beat 3.
Paste to beat 3.
One.
Okay, so it stayed with me for a little while. Let's turn the music down and the metronome up. There we go. All right. Hey, you like that better? Is that better ratio for y'all? Okay, well, that's wonderful and great and awesome, sort of. So let's say I can't be bothered with tempo markers and I just want to use stretch only. I can use stretch in another context because Gianluca and I came up with a custom action mapped to Alt-Shift-I, which inserts a stretch marker and snaps it to the grid. So all this grid stuff we've talked about in the MIDI portion of Reaper now plays a part in audio. So let's do quarter notes, shall we? Because I want to add stretch markers along the way and snap them to quarter notes, which is done by pressing, as far as setting the grid to quarter, it's done by pressing Control Shift 4.
Nope.
Control Shift 4. Quarter notes. Fourth. One, two, three.
8 is Control Shift 8, and then Control Shift 2 is your half notes.
So we could be even less precise, but I'm going to do quarter just for now. Now what I want to do.
Set selection end.
It a little extra verbiage. So I put a stretch marker and snapped it to grid at the very beginning, just so that the first time I add another stretch marker, it doesn't pull it. Now I press tab there. That's okay-ish, I think. But that's already getting off just a tiny bit. Tab. Oh no, it's missing my transient. So, we get to either play with a transient sensitivity and threshold, or scrub to it. Which one should we do? I will vote for now scrubbing.
I find scrubbing easier. Like, I find the threshold and sensitivity thing is really annoying.
Would you agree? Right there?
Yep.
So, we're going to press Alt-Shift-I. Now, see that? Just that little nudge got us on beat. All right, that's Alt-Shift-I. Alt-Shift-I again. And you just go through. And you can be as precise. See, that's way off. Hear that? But if I press Alt-Shift-I and play. See? And again. Yeah. Alt-Shift-I.
Yeah, but you have to do that for the whole project, though.
It's easier than tempo marking it.
No, it's stretch marking it.
That's what I said.
Oh, she said it's easier than tempo marking it.
Oh, easier. Okay.
In a way, it actually is. In a way, it actually really is.
Now, I'm just going through. Because we're quarter notes. Can actually let it get pretty disgustingly off. See how this is fixing it, though?
Yep.
Now, see, if I were not wanting to go such an extreme with this, I would do a combination of tempo and stretch. And then I would go to beats, position, length, rate, and make sure that there were stretch markers also where the tempo markers were, which Gianluca is going to break down. Now, should I be less precise than I'm being, Jessica, to illustrate the effect that
I think, yeah, because, like, what you need to do is show what happens if once the tempo markers are gone, like before, like, because remember that Gianluca is going to talk about why you'd want to put the two together. So if you take the tempo markers out from under the stretch marker.
But I'm not putting any tempo markers in this. I'm saying I'm showing you the good and the bad of going the other extreme of not bothering with tempo and just stretching.
It's even doing it with yours. Not as bad, but it is doing it.
Oh yeah, because I'm not changing tempo. If I were, like I said, yeah.
So
I'm just...
I'm curious. If you turn off the metronome...
Wow, whoa. But it fixed it. Look at that. It fixed it. So you just go through. You don't have to be particularly precise.
Oh, wow. Cool.
That's... Now, but there's an effect that Jessica was going to mention that's could be a problem. So let's play this from the top.
0%. Turn the metronome on.
So on. Okay, so that backfired. It's barely noticeable.
No, it isn't. But... It isn't. It is very noticeable. It is very noticeable in the verse. Not the chorus so much. Actually, from the verse going into the chorus is when it was most noticeable. So, who can notice? Who thinks they can figure out what happened? Because, oh man, I heard it.
Play it again.
Listen from right here.
The piano is weird.
Oh, yeah, the piano is off.
Sort of. You're on the right track.
Right there is a perfect example. Let me back up a couple measures. Listen to what happens here. But it's mainly this first measure right here. What happened there? Let's play it in context with the metronome. What's happening is I'm compensating, or having to be more accurate, Reaper compensate for the drift at slightly different points where the song actually starts to drift. So what happens is that it will either pull by slowing it down in places where it's not necessary to slow it down, or speed it up in places where speeding it up isn't quite necessary. The end result is between the two stretch markers, however far they may be apart, the thing ends up back in sync, but it doesn't necessarily sync it up at the tempo variation. Does that make sense?
Sort of, not really.
So, okay, remember that your rubber band is pulling stuff, right? As you move your tack, right? So what we're having you listen for... And you have to listen carefully, particularly with this one. This one's not as obvious, but it is obvious. Particularly after like the first four measures, like when he starts going into the verse, you can feel and hear the song start to drag. It's pulling, it's dragging, slowing gradually down. And then when Baby I Need comes back, it's fast again. You're like, whoa, wait, where did the, whoa. So,
but they may not have played... When they were playing it and recording it, they may not have played that off, correct?
Well, they wouldn't have slowed it down as much as that like, was slowed down.
It's played, and they did kind of slow and speed up a bit, but not as obvious as those stretch markers are making it. You're feeling, you can actually hear it if you pay attention. Drag and come back, and drag and come back.
See, da.
You can definitely hear it. It definitely slows down in beat two.
three, four, one. Whew. Okay, we're back. 1, 2, 3. Hear it now?
I still don't.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Just because what's happening is the stretch markers are pulling it equally. The audio between the two stretch markers is pulling equally, but the tempo variation that they're performing doesn't have an even variant. So it's not inversely proportional. So where it's not inversely proportional, it temporarily kind of makes it worse, not better.
Okay. Do you guys think that having a different metronome pattern would help you listen to this or not? Instead of hearing 1, 2, 3, 4, hearing bum, 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 would that help?
Let's do it.
Or, could... instead of changing just the tempo, also the rate, I don't know if that would be more helpful for them. If changing, you know, uncheck the preserved pitch so they can hear exactly any rate and pitch fluctuation.
That'd be a good idea, Derek.
Or the metronome changing the pattern for the sorry the pattern the
let's
time
do both.
Signature.
Let's
it would
do
be
both.
Interesting to hear that.
Yeah.
So do you know how to? How would Derek do changing time signature in the metronome so that you hear boom 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 instead of boom ba ba? But you want to hear boom, bop, boom, bop, boom, bop, boom, bop. How would you do that? How would Derek do that? And what time signature should he put to retain the measures as they are now? That's not an easy question. So think of it.
I think the metronome settings and project properties are...
yeah.
And he would have to change the timing to eighth notes, wouldn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And he could either do... I would say that he should do 8-8 because we are in 4-4.
Yeah.
So you need 8-8 to kind of retain the bum 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 bum, right? So 8-8 in the measure will still be that. The beats, not so well, but the measures, yes, because then you have 8 beats in a measure.
Right. Time signature edit selected four.
Now before, if I add any more stretch markers, I need to turn this back to 4-4. But...
yeah, to put the metronome.
Bring this up again. So you hear it. See, there's a little difference there in that in beat 3 to 4.
Yeah, in beat 3 to 4, I was going to say that.
You hear it? See how it kind of drifts a little bit?
Yep.
And it's because I did an equal stretch between those two markers, but that didn't necessarily increase the speed or decrease the speed at the same points where they made the tempo change. Now, the cool part about that is you could go through and you could put more stretch markers in and you could say, right, well, okay, this is exactly where it drifts. So I'm going to put a stretch marker down. Let's see. If this will work, or if I break it more. Alt-Shift-I. Oh, that
broke it
more.
Whoa!
Oh, yeah, I gotta get back to 4-4.
Wow, that really
4-4,
no, you just basically put stretch marker a bit before the necessary, basically. That's what I think.
And it slowed the rate of the whole song down.
Because it's between the two other stretch markers, there's a different distance.
A change happens between two stretch markers every time. So it's between the one that you move and the next one or the previous one. So, yeah, be careful there when you add them.
The two stretch markers are like the two envelope points when you're doing automation. So the audio that's in between the two envelope points is what changes. It's the same with stretch markers.
Okay. Project BPM, edit 118.75.
Yeah.
Time signature, 8 select.
4.
Slash, 8 select.
4.
Time base, 4 items.
Right.
Unsave.
Eighth notes this time. And
set.
There.
Here we go. All better.
So as you guys can see, you can refine your edits and your markers each time. It's a long process. Nobody said it was short, but it works. So basically, all we did today was kind of getting to where you have two different approaches to this. With Jessica's method, you slowed, you slaved the metronome to the song. With Derek's method, you slaved the song to the tempo of the project. Do you understand what... This is a big difference. Do you understand this difference?
Better explain it.
You want...
I think I get the concept, but...
So, with Jessica's method of tempo marking, you are not modifying the audio that is under the tempo markers. So you're modifying the metronome that you're having to respect the audio that you already have. Did you get that part?
Yeah, you're slaving the metronome to the audio.
Yes, so the audio is not changing its rate at any moment. It's played as it was recorded. Derek's method says, okay, you record it one way. I want this thing to change. I want this part to be slower, this part to be faster, this part to stay where it was, this part to change this and that. So you're slaving the audio to the metronome. And in fact, with Derek's method, if now he changes the pitch preserve, you would hear that thing, the pitch of that thing fluctuating because of the rate change that the thing has. If Derek, you can prove, if you can show, that would make clearer of what you actually did with stretch mark.
Yep.
See that? The little big... Yep. Yeah?
There's that little part that it...
Wow.
Why do you hear this pitch fluctuations? Because Reaper is not compensating for the rate, the resampling of the markers, basically. Whereas if you check the little preserve thing, there you go. It's compensating. So you get why you need to kind of know both methods, because sometimes you want one thing, sometimes you want another one, sometimes you want a bit of both.
So slaving the metronome to the, or sorry, doing Derek's method.
Yeah. So making a thing constant to a BPM.
Actually, if you will, helps them play better or gets them to play better than an actual recording, correct?
Mm-hmm. No? Yep, if you're careful enough to do it right, yes.
Right. And that's slaving the, what? The audio to the metronome.
The
right?
audio to the metronome. The audio to the actual BPM and the metronome, yes.
That seems like how I would use my workflow.
Now, Derek, try something, and let's see if that actually works. Now, let's say we want to slow a part of a song from a certain part on to slow it by 20 BPM. The way you could do that, since you have a stretch markers on your project, what you have to do is, so Derek, if you go to a sort of a measure where a stretch marker is already.
Stretch marker bar 1799.
Let's go to one of the earlier ones.
Yes, the one of the earlier, yeah.
But 0 min 17 points. Stretch marker.
Now I'm going to show you something cool and can be cool and bad at the same time.
Stretch.
Oh.
Bar 12 beat 190, bar 12 beat 199%.
We'll do that.
Yeah, that.
There we go.
Yeah, now, try to put a tempo marker here and put a BPM slower, like, what is it, 121 now? Put it at 80 or 90 or something. Let's see what happens, and let's try to explain what happens.
Who remembers how to do that? Who remembers how to change project tempo, or rather, insert a tempo marker in the mid-project?
Shift A.
No. Almost. Change tempo. Change.
Oh, shift C.
Yep.
C.
Yeah.
Tempo slash time signature marker dialog BP 118.753.
Let's make it 100. What do you guys say? 100?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Now go to a preview measure and then play it from this. Let's see what we get.
Oops.
Who remembers why that broke?
because the stretch marker stretched the tempo out?
Mm-mm, it's something to do with the project. I just changed a part of the project.
Because the audio is still the same.
Mm-hmm, which means what did I need to change in my project properties to sort that out? First, I need to undo that.
Undo F time signature marker.
Now I need to go to my project properties, and I need to change my...
/edit/time/items/envelope/markers combo box time collapse.
Two.
To
beats
rate.
Position rate.
Beats
length.
Position length rate. Unsaved prop.
Yeah.
Stretch mark. Tempo 118.76.
100. Unsaved. Now let's give this a go.
Bar rate.
Look at that.
Yep.
Now, if I make a tempo change, let's undo this.
Undo add time signature.
And I make a tempo change that isn't close to a stretch marker, what do you think's going to happen?
Good point.
That's why keeping this stuff together is kind of a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Dear. I didn't even think about that. Yeek.
I'll show you what happens. We'll do that right there on that eighth note because I'm confident there's no stretch marker there. Well, I think so anyway. Watch there be one. It's all right. We'll just move somewhere else. That's cool.
Tempo 118.1. Blah, blah.
100.
Unsaved.
Aha. Uh-huh. You see what the problem is?
Until there was a stretch marker that took things between the point where the tempo changed and there was a stretch marker predefined, no extra stretching was done until you hit the next stretch marker that passed the tempo marker there, and then it's like, oh, right, now the proportion is this from this other two pieces of audio here, this other piece of audio here.
Stupid question.
Mm-hmm.
But could you put... you know, seeing that problem, could you put a tempo marker at the same position as the stretch marker?
That's what we did before, Jess, to make the instant change happen.
Okay.
We put a tempo marker where at the exact same position where a stretch marker was. In fact, if you remember, Derek selected a stretch marker before adding the tempo marker and then made the tempo marker change. Now, let's assume...
Let's undo that first.
And let's assume Derek had a stretch marker to each grid line. It's not the case, but let's assume it was the case. And let's always assume that Derek wants to put two tempo markers and want to create a gradual change in his audio. That is what will help him doing that. Having a stretch marker at each grid division will help him keep it gradual as the tempo would gradually increase or decrease. This, I think, is one of the most awesome things that stretch marker and tempo marker together will allow you to do. And we're going probably more depth next week about this. And next week was, as I said before, Jessica wanted also to do the pitch today. It was next week. It's all next week, guys, probably.
Next week. I have so much, and Gianluca has so much more to teach you guys about.
I have to teach you how to group items, and Derek has to show you how to simulate what's so-called bit detective in Pro Tools in Reaper. So there is a lot of stuff that you can do with this stretch marker, especially.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Does it matter whether you put stretch marks on top of tempo markers or tempo markers on top of stretch markers?
That brings up a whole nother interesting argument about that. And if Derek remembers, when we were creating a certain action to do a certain thing, we ran into the problem that you are asking now. Do you remember, Derek? And then what was the solution to that?
I do. It created more of a pull. With the wrong way around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I figured you could do it backwards and mess it up. Or at least I could, because I could mess pretty much anything up. But I just.
Same here.
Something I was wondering.
The thing is, stretch and then tempo. Because if you make a change in tempo and then you put a stretch marker, you will get in troubles. In fact, there is an action in Reaper, a custom action that adds a tempo and a stretch marker together at a one point in the project. And then you can determine the BPM or the tempo. And that gets also the stretch marker. Why did we do that in the first place? We did that because if you know how the tempo drifts and all that and you play with numbers, then you have stretch and tempo added together on the same spot. Then what do you guys imagine happens if you delete all your tempo markers at once?
All the stretch markers would be gone.
No, yes. On the stretch marker would do what, Jess? What would they do?
Also be gone?
No. Definitely not.
All the tempo markers would be removed, so your stretch markers would have control of the audio, and it would make yes. all the tempo.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You got it yeah. exactly.
Ding. Lots of dings. Lots of
yes.
dings.
Oops. Yes.
Oh. My bad.
You got it exactly because
Justice Family
you're saying, you're saying yeah. Reaper, okay, this is my tempo map. These are my stretch marker that are actually before the tempo. So stretch, tempo, stretch, tempo, stretch, tempo. Now get rid of the tempo. The information of on the rate calculation is there. So let's apply it. Boom. You get a constant song. Is that easy to do with that action? Not so much, because then you need to understand how the beat, you know, you have to do the numbering kind of system. Are there ways around it? Yes. Are they tedious? Yes. Because there's a way in Reaper that you can mark a project with project marker and then convert those markers into tempo markers. Then there's a thing that adds stretch marker to each tempo marker. But it won't break because the tempo change is already established. So it won't break as if you were creating a tempo, putting a marker after it, and then changing your tempo. That breaks. And this is why you need the stretch before the tempo. But if you create a tempo with an established change and you put a stretch marker after it, it won't break. Because the change is there. And stretch knows what to do when that change is removed. And this is a bit confusing. I know that.
Yeah.
So in short...
Hopefully next week we'll clarify it.
Next week, probably I can show examples on how to do this. But it's tedious because then you have to go beat, 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 M, 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 as this thing is playing. Then you convert the project to tempo. You add the stretch to tempo and get rid of the tempo. And you have it. It's tedious, but it's certainly doable.
Yeah. I'm wondering, because this is actually one of the actions I haven't messed with that well. So what happens if you do the tempo stretch marker thingy and then you edit your tempo marker? Does it break? The stretch marker.
If the stretch marker is before the actual tempo marker, no. But if it's after, yes.
Okay.
The tempo markers that you're adding, do they just add to one track or do they add to the whole
They're project. Project?
Tempo are per
tempo
project.
Markers are project.
Stretch are per items.
So if I were to put a different track in, like, because you guys don't have the vocals there. So what if I was to add the vocals in and put them, could I use the tempo markers to put the vocals in?
What you would do, and we're going to get to this eventually, is you would want to group the vocal...
And the instrumental.
And the instrumental. You'd want to group those together such that one item's properties applied to all. So adding stretch to one track adds to all.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We will show this two different ways. Derek is going to show you next week the dynamic split editing. And I'm going to show you when you have multi-mic drums and what can you do to stretch and group items also with a bit of a dynamic splitting. But yeah, there will be different, same technique applied in two different things. Derek will show you in a project and I will show you in another project.
Yep. So lots to look forward to still.
Yeah, there's a big preview of next week.
And by the way, as a random note, just because we were talking about our custom action with tempo and stretch layer together, it's at Control-Alt-K.
Yep.
And it was actually partially my idea that sort of sparked that action. So I was, oddly enough, doing a stretch markery thingy like Derek was, and it was pooling, really bad pooling. So we wanted to find a way to put the tempo markers and the stretch markers together.
And so I did the action, found that it was slightly better, but then Jen Luca saw it and refined it further. So it took the three of us to do it, but we did it.
Yep.
Is that in this key map or and also
yes, you have that.
It's in this
yes,
map. You have it.
You'll yes, you've that. Long since had this.
And the Shift Control I as well.
Alt Shift yes. I. Yeah.
Alt Shift I.
Alt Shift I. Sorry.
What does, that's a good question, what does Control-Shift-I do? Who remembers that? What is it used for?
Use envelope.
Nope. Jess is right. Insert envelope point.
Insert envelope point. Yep.
Point.
Yep, envelope point.
So?
Fades item is Alt-Control-I for fading in and Alt-Control-L to fading out.
So many keystrokes.
So if Control-Shift-I, if Control-Shift-I inserts the envelope, then Alt-Shift-I logically would insert your stretch marker and snap to grid.
Yep. Yeah.
Also, when you press Control-Alt-K to do the custom action of insert tempo marker and add stretch marker at cursor, you get the tempo time signature dialog, the same thing you get as if you pressed Shift-C.
Oh, okay.
Except so you can create instant,
you can create instant tempo changes in a project. So let's say you have a project and it's already constant, but you want to slow it down and then make it fast and then speed it up again. You can do it with this one action. You do Alt-Control-K, and then you give it a tempo, and that will not only change the tempo, but if the project time base is set to bits position length rate, you will have it slowed down in that point. Gradual thing won't work because you don't have each stretch marker a grid. But instant tempo changes, yes. This is another cool way of using that action. So you don't have to go add stretch, add tempo, edit tempo, blah. You can just do it in one key press, edit your tempo, enter, and you have a constant tempo change in a project.
Awesome.
So provided you have beats position length rate.
Rate said, yeah, of course.
Yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, can we just have next week now?
Oh, man, no.
If you all have 2 hours, probably our brain
you all need to practice this week.
Yeah. 2 more hours, and Tressa, you'll want to get this stuff down, because, Derek, do you have the track to show the next assignment? And you guys will have a bit to work on it, because, obviously, we, you know, you guys need to practice it and all that.
But stand by.
Next assignment is relatively easy. maybe. Once Derek finds the song.
So there's a part in this song.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Chicago.
That's right. And that slows down.
Yep, right there.
And you get to correct that and get it to tempo. You get to get that regulated. So you have to take that slow part out.
Oh.
And sync it. Ironically, you
can be posted on the wiki.
Yeah, the assignment is listed there. The actual sample part I'll put there for you to grab and mess with.
Yep.
Of course, they could have wanted it like that, but
they did.
Well,
obviously.
We don't want it like that, though.
They did want it like that. That's what made their song so awesome, right? But we want to break it. We want to sync it to, you know, 2017 standards. Okay.
Yay for broken things.
And break it even more. Lose all the creative expression.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. We gotta have everything conforming to grid. Yeah. It is 2017 after all.
So that is your assignment. I'll get the exact
Can I add to the dead assignment one little thing that they could do?
Sure.
You know.
Oh man.
You can also so let's say you want to. You don't want to slow. You don't want to make it constant. But let's say you want to slave the metronome. Do that if you like. I'd say so. Show us that you learned either to use stretch or to use tempo. So the both approaches.
Yep, I agree.
Do you want to slave the metronome or do you want to slave the audio? Let's see
the audio
does what.
Audio.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
To me. That's even better than all do slave audio. No. Choose that, whatever it means. No, choose your. We are going to, because I said it before, but we don't have time now. Next week, I'm going to start by showing you how to make tempo markers based on time measures in Reaper, because that's a thing that might be useful as well at some point. Not for this particular song, because it slows down in the middle of a measure, but it will be useful for the song that we had before, where we were tempo mapping. So next week, I'm going to, if you guys are all right, I'm going to start with demoing that.
Cool.
And then we talk about stretching grouped items, and we're going to show you all the fun stuff with the spinning down the whole project or grouping items and stuff like that.
Awesome.
If you want to cheat and you want to copy sort of, you know how when you listen, especially nowadays, to a pop song and you hear the chorus of the song and each time it comes is always the same. So you'll learn how to kind of move that across as grouped items?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that is not necessarily needing grouped items. That it's even easier than that. So,
wait, how about we wait until next week to get into
yep.
all that?
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
Oh, and just because, in case you guys are like, no, I can't do this. I can't do this. Eh, mommy, I promise it's possible.
Perfect. So,
it is possible. I promise. Now, cool. Something to laugh at. I'm going to turn off that preserve pitch thing.
Yep. And so that guys will give changes. You if that will give you ideas, guys. So listen carefully to what Derek is going to play for you. That will give you some ideas sure on how to do it.
Wow. Oh,
if you have Lord. Listened to that, you know one thing and how to proceed.
Wow.
If you've listened to that, you have the assignment virtually done.
Wow.
And I'm not going to say any more than that.
No.
So I'll get that sample up for you guys because I might have it in FLAC. Otherwise, you just have to deal with an MP3. Sorry. But
what a... Oh, audio instructors giving us MP3s. Wow.
I know.
Yeah, why don't you give us a 64K while you're at it?
All right. No problem.
Be careful. She will, too.
I bet. And a 2250.
There you go.
Oh,
yay.
Oh man.
Yay.
Nope, an ALA or a VOC file from the late 90s. That'll work.
Yeah.
ADPCM or ELA or one of those.
We got some up-and-coming mashup artists in the works. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
We'll find
out. Competition? Competition?
Uh oh. Oh man, a mashup. Mash off.
Mash off.
Oh, that would mash be fun.
I'm glad. See you all next week.
See ya.